Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Dennis Shore, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. One is how Elizabeth Warren, who is becoming a leading candidate for the Democrat presidential nomination next year, has promised to work for Israeli national suicide, made a pledge to Jewish anti-Semites. And we're going to discuss the implications of all of that and why all of that is a clear and present danger and we've got to deal with it. The second subject, there was some infighting in the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin, and it led to him temporarily resigning his position and then coming back, and the whole thing was a mess for about a day. Things do seem to be more under control now, but We'll see how things go. We're going to explain to you what's going on with the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin. In fact, let's start out with the Zehut party of Moshe Feiglin. As you know, JTF supports Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party. And there is going to be an election on September 17th of this year, another 2 months, for the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And this gives us another opportunity, hopefully, to try to get Zehut into the Knesset. But there is a possibility that Zehut will not run in that election. If Zehut or Moshe Feiglin conclude that they're not likely to win, for a whole number of reasons, they may not run because they don't want to lose twice in a row. They came very close to winning in the past election. They don't want to run a second time. The landscape may be more difficult for this second election than it was in the first, because the Israeli public, after there was an election this past April, and Netanyahu and the Likud failed to put together a government, so now you have a return election. You got the second election in several months for the first time in Israeli history. This is the first time ever since Israel was created in 1948 that a government was not put together, and several months later, right away, we have to have a second election. The Israeli public is not happy with that, understandably. And so they are gravitating toward the larger parties now. And that can hurt a party like Moshe Feiglin's Zehut party. And so this may be a more difficult landscape for the Zehut party to run in. It's possible. And so you never know for sure. I don't know for sure whether or not they're going to go forward and run. I don't know what's going to happen. Of course, the best scenario is if they do run and if they get elected, and that's what we would hope for. If they run, we're going to support them. But nothing is certain right now. We will definitely know by August 1st, we'll definitely know, because that's the absolute deadline for submitting Knesset lists. So on August 1st, we'll know for sure who's running and what the story is. And we'll probably know sometime before then. Here's what happened in the past couple of days in Zehut. You know, every political party experiences eventually some infighting and some differences of opinion and some power struggles. That happens in every political party eventually. When you're dealing with human beings, not with robots, things like that happen. It's human nature, unfortunately. People tend to have differences and disagreements, and sometimes it leads to infighting. And for the first time, Zehut experienced some infighting. Several members of the party rebelled and objected to Moshe Feiglin's decision on what he wanted to do with the Knesset list. He wanted to elevate one of his right-wing colleagues, which we were pleased with. We were happy he wanted to do this because this guy was arrested and spent time in prison during the Gush Katif expulsion, because he's a real right winger. He's a good guy. And Moshe Feiglin wanted to put him higher on the list. And we were pleased with the decision, but there were some people in the party that weren't pleased because that means they go a little bit lower on the list. So there was a rebellion. And the committee that has to approve it refused to approve his recommendation, and so he submitted his resignation. He said he's resigning, and he's leaving the party. And that, of course, set off a big panic, because without Moshe Feiglin, the party is not going to go anywhere. The party has no chance of succeeding without Moshe Feiglin. He's the charismatic figure that puts everything together. And he's the main brains behind the party is Moshe Feiglin. So when he said that, the vast majority of the party pulled together quickly and said, no, please come back and agree to everything that he wanted. And, you know, they got him to come back. They begged him to come back, and they got him to come back. And you could see that this really hurt him, the whole situation. I mean, it hurt him personally. He felt hurt. He felt personally hurt by this. But he decided to come back for now, and hopefully everything will be under control in order to get the party back on its proper footing in time for the election. We hope that's what's going to happen. But we'll find out in the upcoming days. Of course, if Zehut does not run, we're not supporting anybody. All the other parties are bad, and we're not going to support anybody if Zehut doesn't run. There is no one else worthy of support. If Zehut does run, as you know, we will be supporting them as we did in the April election. So again, we're hopeful that things are under control now. We continue to loyally support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party, and we hope that things will go well for him and that they will be able to put up a campaign. A campaign. If they don't, then we'll just sit the election out, but we will continue no matter what. Even if we're not supporting anyone in the election, we will continue our education campaign. We will continue to work to reach the Israeli public, Israeli Jews, with the truth, because Israeli Jews must get the truth. They must have someone who works to wake them up, and wake them up fast, because of all the dangers that Israel is facing. So that we're going to continue to do, because we, again, in JTF, tell a truth that even Moshe Feiglin and Zehut won't tell. There are things, there are differences we have with Zehut and Moshe Feiglin. He's not a Kahanist. We bring a truth to the people of Israel that no one else brings. And so it's very important that our message reach Israeli Jews, and we will continue to bring that message to the Jews of Israel, whether we actually support someone in the political upcoming political election or not. And again, whether or not we support someone will depend upon whether or not Zehut runs. If Zehut and Feiglin do go ahead and run, we're going to back them. If they don't run, we're not going to back anybody in the election. That's where we stand now. Right now, they say they're going to run. This is Chaim Ben Pesach telling you that I have some doubt that might happen because of the political dynamics, that I think there's some doubt there. But there's a good chance they will run. And again, if they do, we're all in for trying to get Feiglin into the Knesset. The second subject we want to discuss is, again, the presidential campaign, the presidential election next year in the United States. Now, you know that we did not support Donald Trump and don't like Donald Trump. We supported Ted Cruz. And there are many things Donald Trump does that we do not like. But as we have said repeatedly now for quite a while, the Democrats are so anti-Semitic and have moved so far to the left that we think it's clear that the Democrats are worse than Trump. Trump is a lesser of the evils. And for Israel, that is a very big deal. That is very important for Israel and for the survival of Israel. Elizabeth Warren, the radical left senator from Massachusetts, was approached by some anti-Semitic Jewish scum from an organization called If Not Now. If Not Now is a scum radical left Jew-hating organization that works to destroy Israel. These are Jews who want to destroy Israel. They say they're working to end the occupation. There is no occupation. The land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, but these filthy, self-hating, Judenrat, Kapo, vermin support the enemies of their own people, support all of those who want to destroy Israel, and support those who want to destroy the Jews and perpetrate another Holocaust against the Jewish people. So some of these vile Jewish anti-Semites from the radical left approached Elizabeth Warren while she was campaigning in New Hampshire and asked her to join them in fighting to end the Israeli occupation, that she has to fight for this and speak up about this and promise as president that she's going to work tirelessly to end the Israeli occupation. And she told them in front of everybody, this was not just that, she said in front of everybody there that she will do this. She said, yes, I'm with you. Yes, I'm there. She told them she agrees and she wants to also do this. So she has now publicly pledged to work for Israeli national suicide. What she is promising to do is work to push Israel back to the pre-1967 suicide borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. She is promising to work to create a so-called Palestine state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But she's promising to work to create an independent terrorist state like that in Israel's biblical heartland. And again, the result of that would be that Israel would be in completely indefensible suicidal borders. What Abba Ibn, the radical left foreign minister from the left-wing Labor Party, even he referred to the pre-1967 borders as Auschwitz lines, suicide lines, Holocaust lines. And this is what these radical left anti-Semitic Jews, the J Street Jews, the Peace Now Jews, all of these extremists, Bernie Sanders, Schmuck Schumer, that's what they want. That's what their dream is, to get Israel to commit national suicide because they're against a Jewish state, they're against an independent, sovereign Jewish nation and Jewish people. And they're the number one enemies that Israel has today. They run around after all the presidential candidates. These are Jews who run around after all the presidential candidates and pressure them and push them and beg them to work for Israel's destruction. How can you get more evil than this? This is like Jews backing, pushing the Jews in the ovens and gas chambers during the Holocaust. And there were Jews who backed that during the Holocaust as well. The Judenrat, Kapos, and others helped Hitler do what he did during the Holocaust as well. You had the Nazi collaborators among self-hating Jews during the Holocaust, and you've got the collaborators with Islamic Nazism today that want to destroy Israel today. Now, here's what the danger is. With Donald Trump, so far we don't have a major push like this to get Israel to commit national suicide. He has not yet come up with a plan and is not really pushing this, and he hasn't shown much interest so far. And let's hope that he doesn't do it. I don't know for sure that he won't do it, but so far he hasn't done it. So far he is the lesser of the evils. On the other hand, all of the Democrats are in favor of Israeli national suicide, all of them, without exception. And every Democrat president since the 1967 Six-Day War has worked for Israeli national suicide. The three presidents that were in office, Lyndon Johnson was in office about a year and a half after the 1967 war. There wasn't really much of a chance for him to do much, although he did try to prevent Israel from winning that war. And he slapped a 130-day arms embargo on Israel after the 1967 war to punish Israel for surviving, to punish Israel for defending herself. Did you know that Lyndon Johnson put an arms embargo on Israel after the 1967 Six-Day War? So he was another Jew hater. And of course, there have been Republican presidents that were Jew haters and that had Jew hating policies, like Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, George Bush the father. They did terrible things to Israel. But the Democrat presidents, without fail, have been obsessively anti-Israel. Whereas some Republican presidents, Ronald Reagan during much of his term did not even pay attention to Israel. He did some bad things too, but during much of his term he ignored Israel, we want them to ignore Israel. Ronald Reagan ignored Israel during much of his term. George W. Bush, he proposed a plan that would have been suicidal for Israel, but didn't really push it. He did not make a major push to get this plan implemented. So Republicans sometimes do not obsessively push. They don't really press the issue when they're in office. Sometimes. We saw that under George W. Bush and under Ronald Reagan and under Donald Trump. He so far has not really been pushing for Israeli national suicide. But the three Democrat presidents who came after the Six-Day War, all especially and after the Yom Kippur War, the War of Yom Kippur in 1973, all three of those Democrat presidents obsessively worked day and night to get Israel to commit suicide. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmam B'Zichram Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may their names and memories be obliterated. May the names of the wicked rot. These three vile, evil, Jew-hating presidents worked day and night to get Israel to commit suicide, and the consequences for Israel were terrible. Jimmy Carter got Israel to retreat from the Sinai. Now, Menachem Begin was guilty. He gave in and he agreed to it at the Camp David discussions. There were the Camp David talks between him and the Egyptian Nazi dictator Anwar el-Sadat. But Jimmy Carter, he invited Begin and Sadat over for 2 weeks of intensive one-on-one talks for 2 whole weeks, pushed obsessively. Then afterwards, when the agreement that was reached at Camp David was in trouble, Carter went personally to the Middle East and did shuttle diplomacy between Egypt and Israel back and forth to pressure Begin to make sure that Begin goes through with the whole retreat from the entire Sinai. And remember, the Sinai was three times the size of the rest of the state of Israel. It was 75% of the land that Israel had was surrendered in the Sinai. Complete insanity what Begin did. Begin and the Likud. So don't ever believe that the Likud is a right-wing party. They're the worst. They are the ultimate traitors who have surrendered Jewish land more than any other party in Israel's history. But Jimmy Carter pushed for that frantically, fanatically, obsessively. You couldn't be a worse Jew hater than Jimmy Carter. And the consequences of the retreat from Sinai have been horrific for Israel. Bill Clinton, you had the Oslo agreements. Now that was the Israeli government that did the Oslo agreements. But Bill Clinton pushed hard to make sure that those Oslo agreements continue to move forward, and he pushed hard to keep them going. And then the Y agreements, when Netanyahu was elected, Clinton got Netanyahu and Arafat together at the Y plantation, and they had what was called the Y plantation talks and the Y agreements, and got Israel to give up another 13% of Judea and Samaria, got Israel to surrender 97% of Hebron, which is the city of our forefathers. That was Bill Clinton that pushed very hard for this. Netanyahu is guilty that he gave in and agreed to it, but still it was Bill Clinton pushing obsessively to do this. And then Bill Clinton spent the last 2 years of his presidency working day and night. He must have spent maybe one-third of his whole presidency during the last 2 years just working on trying to get an agreement between Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat, to get Israel to commit suicide, to get Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders. Thank God that Hashem, that God protected us and gave us an insane Arab leader like Arafat, who rejected the Israeli-American offer to give him 97% of Judea and Samaria, to push Israel back to borders that would have been absolutely indefensible. And Arafat rejected it and demanded even more, and the whole thing collapsed. This was a miracle that Hashem protected us, but we're not allowed to depend on miracles. And Bill Clinton almost got Israel to completely commit suicide. That filthy, stinking, slimy animal. So you had Jimmy Carter, who got the Sinai retreat, Bill Clinton, who almost got Israel to completely commit suicide, and who pushed and was also responsible for the Oslo agreements and the Y agreements. And then Barack Hussein Obama, the third Democrat president since the Yom Kippur War. Barack Hussein Obama and his Secretary of State, John Kerry, really John Cohen, His father's family name was really Cohen, and that's why this self-hating, vile, obsessive hatred for Israel. He tried to hide the fact that it was Cohen. He didn't know when reporters discovered that he had some Jewish history in his background. He pretended he didn't know, just like Madeleine Albright. She pretended, oh, I had no idea. All liars. Filthy, stinking self. There's nothing worse than a self-hating Jew. There is nothing worse than a self-hating Jew. They're worse than Nazis. Anyway, Obama and John Kerry obsessively pressuring Israel constantly to commit national suicide. Again, the only thing that saved Israel was the fact that the Arab terrorists rejected the offers that were being made for Israeli suicide and for talks, and they tried to get talks going, and the Arab terrorists spoiled it. That's the only thing that stopped it. Now, you might say, well, okay, the Arabs rejected it. You see, we were saved by Arab stupidity. It's true. A couple of times Israel was saved by the stupidity of our enemies. Hashem, God, gave us enemies that were so dumb that we were saved by that. That was a miracle. But don't believe for one minute that happens all the time. It does not. It does not happen all the time. Arafat did accept the Oslo agreements, which were a disaster for Israel, which led to the murder of 2,000 Jews and giving up huge portions of Judea and Samaria. Oslo was a catastrophe for Israel. And that Arafat did accept, and everybody thought he would never accept it. But he did accept it. After vowing for decades that he would never sit across the table with Israelis, never shake hands or meet with Israelis, never agree to anything, he did agree. He did all of those things. So changes can happen. They can happen very quickly. Arafat did that at Oslo. Sadat, the Egyptian Nazi dictator, that Nazi snake, he accepted a separate agreement with Israel giving him the Sinai. Everybody said at the time, don't worry, we're not going to lose the Sinai. Sadat is not going to agree to a separate agreement with Israel. Israel can't make an agreement with Syria and these other countries, and Egypt is not going to be isolated and make an agreement all on its own just to get the Sinai. But they did. Sadat did agree to it, and Israel lost the whole Sinai. And Arafat and then Oslo, Israel lost a lot. So there are times when Arab leaders do accept these agreements, do make changes, and surprise people, and then do come forward and say, okay, we'll take it. When that happens, we are in a lot of trouble because Israeli leaders always give in. Always give in. Until you put Kahanas in power, that's what we're going to have in Israel. A real Kahanas in power. That's what we're going to have in Israel. So, there is a great danger. Because if you have an Elizabeth Warren in the White House, or Joe Biden, who is going to continue Obama's policies of pressuring Israel. Joe Biden was Obama's vice president and was part of that whole evil cabal. Or certainly the self-hating Judenrat scum Bernie Sanders, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. Any of these Democrats, you put them in the White House, once again, you're going to have 4 years of non-stop brutal pressure on Israel to commit national suicide. And you're going to have, again, there's no doubt we have Israeli leaders who will cave in under that pressure. They will cave in under the pressure. The only hope we have is that the Arab leaders will reject it. But we don't. There have been times in history when Arab leaders don't reject it, when they accept it. What if that happens again? What if you have an Arab leader come forward and accept it, as has happened? Then we're in a lot of trouble if that happens. We can't afford to be in a situation like that. We can't depend on miracles. We're not allowed to depend on miracles. In the Jewish religion, you're not allowed. We believe in miracles, but you're not allowed to depend on miracles. It's a sin to depend on miracles. And so, we'll be in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble in a year and a half if the Democrats win the presidency. We'll be in a lot of trouble. We're already in a lot of trouble, but with the Democrats, it'll be even worse. Not to mention Iran. all the Democrats are committed to going back to at least the Iran agreement, at least what Obama and Kerry were giving Iran, hundreds of billions of dollars, and enabling the Iranians to build a nuclear bomb factory and prepare to build massive numbers of nuclear bombs and setting off a nuclear arms race in the Middle East among all the Muslim countries that surround Israel. That was the situation that we had under Obama, and we still have that danger right now because Trump and the coward Netanyahu have both of them are cowards. Trump is also a coward. They have both not dealt with the issue, which again, in one day, the U.S. Air Force can destroy Iran's nuclear bomb making capacity and save the world and save the United States as well from the danger of a nuclear holocaust. In one day, the American Air Force can do that. But Trump won't do it because he's a moron and he's a coward. And Netanyahu won't do it because he's a coward. So we're in this situation with Iran, but at least, as bad as it is and it's terrible, at least Trump is putting sanctions on Iran. So Iran's economy is in a lot of trouble. So maybe, God willing, something will happen before they build the nuclear bombs to cause a collapse of their economy or collapse of something there to prevent this from happening. At least we hope so. At least we hope so. If the Democrats get in, the road to building a nuclear bomb will be paved very smoothly for the Iranians. Then we're really in a lot of trouble if the Democrats get in. And if we go back to the Obama policy of supporting Iran and making it easy for them to build nuclear bombs. And then under Obama, the Saudis, the Turks, the Egyptians, they all wanted to build nuclear bombs as well in response to the Iranian building of nuclear bombs. So we had an unbelievable nightmare situation when Obama was in office. And that nightmare will return with a vengeance if the Democrats get it back into the White House. So we can't afford to have a situation like that. We can't afford to have that. Abu Mazen or Mahmoud Abbas, something he calls himself Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Fatah, PLO terrorists. He's in his 80s. He's going to drop dead soon. And you'll get some other Arab leader who replaces him, some Arab terrorist. Maybe the Arab terrorists will do what Arafat did and accept the negotiations and accept the framework for creating a Palestine state the way Arafat did in Oslo, the way Sadat did when it came to the Sinai retreat. That very well could happen, God forbid. That danger is a very real danger. And that is something under a Democrat president that the Democrats will push relentlessly. And they're openly telling us that. They're not hiding it. Most American Jews are anti-Israel and agree with them. Most American Jews are scum. Scum. They voted for Obama. They vote for all the Jew haters. They don't give a damn about Israel. They let 6 million Jews be murdered during the Holocaust. They're scum. It's bad enough that they live in the United States, that they don't live in Israel. Every Jew is required to live in Israel. It is a sin to live outside of Israel, a terrible sin, when we have a Jewish state. And as bad as that is, they're not even loyal to the Jewish state and to their own people. They actually work to undermine their own people. Vile. And so JTF is going to have to play a role in alerting people to this danger and in working to defeat the anti-Semitic Democrats. I don't think we have a choice. I don't think we have a choice unless Trump surprises us and comes up with some disastrous Israeli suicide plan. Unless that happens, in which case both sides are so terrible that we have nobody to choose from. But unless that happens, we've got to support Trump as the lesser of the evils. We don't have a choice. And that's going to be an interesting and complicated campaign that we're going to conduct. We'll probably be concentrating. I'll tell you what the calendar looks like. If Zehut does run, if Moshe Feigelman and Zehut do run in the September 17th election, until September 17th, we'll concentrate on backing Zehut in Israel. But after that, until the November election next year, we've got to launch a big campaign to wake the Jews of Israel up and to wake American Jews up. Why the Jews of Israel? They can't vote in the presidential election, that's true. But they got to wake up to understand that they got to be ready to resist if this pressure comes down on them to commit suicide. They got to be ready to resist. And so we've got quite an education campaign that we've got to conduct in order to wake the people of Israel, in order to wake them up. Most Israeli Jews don't want a so-called Palestine state or any of these other crazy... Most Israeli Jews don't want it. That's not the question. The question is, under pressure, will they accept it? That's the problem. And we have to be there to make sure that there are enough Israeli Jews who won't accept it and who will resist if, God forbid, our backs are against the wall in this situation. Because this could be... This would be a matter of life and death. And so we've got our work cut out for us. In the end, of course, Israel will survive and the Jews will survive. We just don't want the Jews to suffer. We don't want huge numbers of Jews to be murdered, God forbid. And we don't want the Jews to suffer. And we want the redemption to come as quickly as possible. Israel can never be completely destroyed. It can't be. God has promised that we've come back to Eretz Yisrael and that the eternal redemption is coming. That there's no question about. We could put it off for a couple of hundred years and have tremendous suffering and pain and death. Or we could bring it quickly and gloriously. So we've got to be in the middle of this struggle in order to make a difference. And JTF is the one group, I mean, you, those of you who are with us, you're fortunate enough to be part of the one group that distinguishes itself in that we tell the Jews of Israel something no one else will dare say. And not just the Jews of Israel, the Jews of America too. What you heard me say just now about American Jews, about Jewish politicians, about the whole situation here, you don't hear anybody else, any other Jewish organizations or Jewish leaders or Jewish activists speak like this. Where do you hear this? We haven't heard this type of talk from anyone since the days when Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Harab Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, when our great beloved Rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahana, a blessed memory, may God avenge his blood, since the days when he would speak to us, we haven't heard other leaders and others speak to Jews this way except for JTF. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and I have, again, as I say to you every week, I have no doubt that if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world, we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.